Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When thinking about this passage this week, the verse, "But they caught nothing." That night they had caught nothing. It really stood out to me. And it's in those moments when we feel we've caught nothing that we become despondent. We forget how faithful God is. They caught nothing. And you might be feeling too at the moment right now that you've caught nothing. You might be in that place. Well, let's keep looking to Jesus and he will speak to us about those situations. But that night they caught nothing. But there's always, always hope with our faithful God. Thank you, band. So we read in John 21 from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Simon Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. And Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Well, it's evident that not many of you were able to understand the northern dialect of the motherland in last Sunday's sermon clip. Do you recall that? It's been a long week, has it? Yeah. So today, here's something that's obviously going to be more culturally relevant to you, which was on the news this week.
Rob Buki reckons he loves his city, but is having a bit of a whinge about whinging.
Newcastle, stop whinging, 'cause the way you carry on, you got me cringing.
Taking aim at everything from the famous fig trees to the current supercars furore, he's questioning our attitude towards change.
Just seeing all the protests on TV, it's just a very Novocastrian thing to protest, so I thought I'd write a protest song about protesting.
What's with all this V8 hate, mate? Let me get this straight, I think the V8s are gonna be great. You think they're gonna be loud? Well, that's a shame, they're the only thing louder than the V8s is your complainant.
Set against a backdrop of iconic Newcastle locations, the clip has chalked up nearly 15,000 YouTube views since its release last week.
I knew the song was going to cause some controversy. I've had about half the feedback has been positive and half the feedback's been absolutely negative.
Rob says the main point of the video was to make people laugh, but he's pleased it's also got them talking.
If you have to be all English teacher and find the point of the song, I think it's time to move on and embrace change in Newcastle.
Even if the message is lost, one thing that may catch on is a new dance move to show Novocastrian pride. It's called the pigeon.
Okay, tell us how to do the pigeon.
So to do the pigeon, you need to get your chest puffed out and get your wings back and forwards like that.
Like this.
Newcastle, to the pigeon, 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 to the
pigeon. So have you all got that? After three, okay, ready, everyone? Yeah. So that was more culturally relevant, wasn't it? Yeah, you've all got the words. It's on your playlist now as well, that song. That's good. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, I live in Newey and I don't complain. We don't complain, do we? No, none of us complain. None of us complain that the aircon in here is too cold. Excuse me, it's the team. It's the way the truth... No, I'm just sorry. Yeah, no one complains it's too cold, do they? No? No? No one complains... Don't you dare take... Don't, no, put that back. Nobody complains it's too cold in here with the aircon, do they? No, none of us complain. None of us complain that we're too hot, do we? None of us... complain about that, do we? No. No. Diane's going, yes. Thank you for being honest, Diane. Yeah. Now, we don't complain that about the aircon, maybe, or when maybe we do. And what's more, we never complain. We never hear anyone else complaining, do we? Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful thing to find at church, isn't it? No one complains. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be heaven? Yes. And we certainly don't complain about other people, do we? No, no. But again, wouldn't that be beautiful? That would be heaven. And we don't become fixated on what others are or aren't doing, do we? No. Again, that would be beautiful and that would be heaven. Well, the picture we've seen, the scene we've just read about, and thinking about that, the disciples see Jesus again following his resurrection for the third time. And if that's not enough, they've just witnessed yet another miracle, a huge catch of fish. Then Jesus offers them breakfast, they have a chat to the risen Lord, and something amazing happens. Jesus ordains Peter. He reinstates him after he denied Jesus, if you recall, before Easter. And wow, what a morning that would have been. Could you imagine cramming all that into your morning? And imagine the Facebook status of that. What a morning. But then even after all of that, After all of that, Peter says, what about him? Now, I don't know if John went around to all the disciples calling himself the one who Jesus loved, but he quite likes doing that in the gospel he wrote. I imagine that it may have been irritating to the other disciples if he had said, I'm the one who Jesus loved, I'm the one who is beloved by Jesus, and it's me. That would have been a bit irritating. But even so, Jesus has had his special moment with Jesus, and still, Peter says, what about him? He complains. What about him? Now, don't you find that when we become overly concerned or irritated by other people, not that that would ever happen because we're the church, but when we become irritated by other people or overly concerned about them, our perspectives can become blurred. And if we choose to blame others for getting in the way of our walk with Christ, we can actually miss out on our own meeting with him. So this morning, let us not think, what about him or what about her? Instead, let us meet with him personally today. You see, the disciples were left with so much to think about in John 21, and they were changed forever. And we can be too changed forever if we meet with him, and if we meet with him regularly. So let's take a look at verse 1 to 3. And I think this could be entitled A Night of Wasted Activity. It's like a return to the old self, because seven of the disciples make a decision to return to the sea to fish. And after all that experienced, they went back to the ways that they knew. And I wonder at this stage how their ministry with Jesus had impacted them. Had their lives been changed? I'd guess a yes. But they didn't know what to do. They returned instead to their old ways. They were in a place that they knew, but they were using the wrong methods for the job. Instead of waiting on the Lord to come and give them direction, they began doing things in their old ways and in their own strength. But they'd forgotten for a while that they now had a new job. I can't imagine it would be very easy to forget if you have a new job. Is it? No. No one's ever turned up to an old workplace when you went to a new job? No, that's good. A new role where they fished not for fish, but for soles, and not the fish sole, not for the soles of shoes that hadn't been invented then, but soles of people who didn't yet hold their hope in God. A new job using the old tools doesn't work so well, does it? But aren't we too guilty as well of doing this as well? Do we sometimes forget and go back to our old ways? Maybe not our old addictions, our old attitudes maybe, but our old behaviours that maybe led us there. Because do we truly wait on him? Do we truly use all that God provides? And do we trust him enough to rely on his provision for what he's doing now? Now, I know that there are a few fishing people here, people who like to go fishing, and there's nothing wrong with fishing. It just wasn't the business that Jesus wanted them in. He didn't want the disciples to be in that business at that time. And you may have gone through a life change where you too have had to change direction because of hearing from God. And God may be doing that for you now. God may be speaking to you now. So could it be that God is calling you to something new? But the issue is that we've become too comfortable in what we know. It's possible, isn't it? Have we become too comfortable in what we know? Because we're to walk in utter dependence upon Jesus, realising that without him, we are nothing, it says in John 15:5. So then from verses 4 to 14, I guess we could call that as well, I'm not adding to the Bible, by the way, I'm just suggesting things, but it could be called, entitled, A Morning of a Wonderful Abundance. When Jesus shows up, you see, things began to change. And when they recognised he was available, everything changed. You see, in verse 5, the question was designed. If someone would like to read verse 5 for us. Anyone? Thank you. So this question was designed to bring home the reality of their failure. They'd fished all night, and they were probably tired and cold and hungry. And now this figure shows up asking them if they have any fish. And their short answer is an indication of the reality they all felt too well. And at this moment, they felt like failures. And sometimes, if we're honest, we too have maybe felt like failures. But aren't you glad as well, that the Lord challenges us when we go about things in our own strength? When he does, it isn't to rub our noses in our failures or in an effort to put us down. When he challenges our failed attempts at self-sufficiency, his motive is that of awakening us in a renewed dependence upon himself. And we need the constant reminder that the just shall live by faith, Romans 1 verse 17. We do need that constant reminder. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11:6, our sufficiency will never fail because he will never fail. And so Jesus tells them to let their nets on the right side of the boat down, and with the promise that when they do, they'll find the fish they've sought all night. When they obeyed the Lord's command, they were rewarded with a huge catch of fish. And what they'd failed to accomplish with their skill and knowledge had been brought to pass in a single moment by their obedience to the will of God. And that's a daily choice, positioning ourselves into the will of God. What a lesson for us today, for us individually and collectively. And you might say that we have a fairly confused Salvation Army in this territory, and I might be speaking out of turn because it's not mine. But we do all have the organisation and the well-oiled machinery that we can use, and still we're not catching fish, perhaps you might feel that we're not. So what's the problem? Because it is the same problem that the disciples had, because we are trusting everything else instead of Jesus to get the job done. And that's not just the Salvation Army of which we're part. It's us individually, because we are the Salvation Army. We are God's church. We are his people. So it comes down to us, actually. Is the problem that we're trusting in everything instead of God to get the job done? We can never expect to do God's work until we go about it in the Lord's will. Never. So friends, let us use what God himself gives to us. So it's time to surrender our own tools and trade them for those that Jesus offers. Again. And they pray. Let's do it more. It's so basic, isn't it? The Bible, let's read it more. Let's live it more. When we learn to fish the Lord's way, we will catch what we're after. We'll catch what he is after. And if you look at verses 7 to 14, again. Do you notice in these verses, Jesus took care of every need that they had, every need. They were working ineffectively for fish, and when they arrived on the shore, Jesus had fish and bread prepared for them. They were attempting to catch a few fish for food, maybe. But Jesus gave them a net filled to overflowing with fish. They were weary and cold from a night on the lake. But Jesus had a fire prepared to warm and comfort them. And the lesson here is unmistakable. Our need is the evidence of God's supply in waiting. When we lack, he has our supply. He's able to meet the need of his people. He's more than able to meet the needs of us today. More than able. So let's trust him more. There's no need to fear the task at hand, because Jesus lives and will never leave us or forsake us, but he lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Because Jesus is able to control circumstances, he changed in an instant what they were unable to change in an entire night. So let's not give up. Let's learn to trust the power of our Saviour. Jesus is able to control success. The success of the disciples in this instance was entirely in the hands of Jesus. They would have continued in failure unless he intervened. And when he did, they enjoyed enormous success. And this takes the pressure off you and me. When we realise that the harvest is the Lord's and our duty is to walk in his will and do what he tells us to do, we come to recognise that he's also responsible for any measure of success that is obtained. But our job is merely to obey. We're told, Peter said, "What about him?" And we're told, Jesus said, "Follow me." And that's what we need to just do. Jesus is able to supply all the needs of all his people. When the disciples reached the shore, they found that their labour had been in vain. Their attempts at self-sufficiency had been wasted. And when they came face to face with Jesus, they found that they had everything they needed already and waiting for them. And he still is our Jehovah Jireh. And then we go on to verse 15. Three times the disciple who denied the Lord is called upon to reaffirm his love for Jesus. Now much has been said about Peter's confession and the word play that ensues between himself and the Lord. And it's true the first two times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him with agape love. And twice Peter answered that he loved Jesus with filial love. However, before we become too harsh towards Peter because we're all Peter, let's remember that this is the man who had made his boast to go with Jesus unto the death he had. Before that night was ended, Peter denied Jesus three times. And I see Peter here humbled and honest before the Lord. To truly love Jesus means to have a self-sacrificing, self-denying, unconditional, unchanging, unending love for Christ that pervades every area of our lives. Then we'll be in a place to demonstrate to the lost world around us that Jesus is all he claims to be. Genuine love for Jesus is manifested in that way. Is it enough for me to say I love the Lord? Is it enough for us to say, man, we really love Jesus here? No, true love for the Lord always manifests itself in obedience to his commandments. Then when there is obedience to the commands of Jesus, he has promised to manifest his presence in the midst of his people. Do you love me? Asks Jesus of us here today. Do you truly love me? Peter is told to feed my lambs and sheep, young and mature, all. The point is clear. And again, it comes back to God's word. Are we even feeding on that enough? And if we're not, how can we feed others? What does that have to do with me? Everything. In verse 16, the word feed literally means to tend or to keep sheep. Peter is told that the sheep need more than food. They are to be looked after and all their needs are to be supplied. And again, there's a message to all. How can each of us show up to others that they are cared for and that they are loved? We're all called by God. We're all commissioned by him to feed his sheep. Now, where does it say that anyone is excluded from that? This may mean putting aside petty differences. This may mean putting aside things that don't matter. And so after his impromptu breakfast meeting, the disciples were never the same. Peter became a powerhouse for Jesus. The others served and glorified God in their lives and ultimately by their deaths. But why the change? I think perhaps the answer lies in the fact that they learned some lessons that were never forgotten that morning. Some lessons that they took to heart that were allowed to work in their lives. So I don't think there's any room for us to question Jesus. What about him? Instead, we're asked to ask ourselves, what about me? And we're asked to follow him. What does that mean for you and for me? I'm going to take some time right now as a clip plays, and you're very welcome to respond in whichever way you'd like to, whichever way you need to. Respond just to what Jesus is saying. And we have some, we don't have some bread here, we don't have fish, but we have some bread in the shape of fish. And perhaps you'd like to come and take one, or perhaps you'd like to, because Jesus says, come and have not just breakfast, but life with me. And perhaps you may like to make that decision again today. We also have some sand to remind us maybe of this, of the sea on which this took place. And it may be like that you'd like to draw a line in the sand, acknowledging those times that we've failed God. Because Jesus still calls us worthy. Jesus still calls us, commissions us to go and feed his sheep. And it's not just the job for one person, it's a job for us all. He's called all of his disciples to go follow him and feed his sheep. Just take this time as we need to right now.